Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It has been quite a bit of time since we've had a new podcast episode for Aces Up the Sleeve. So if you've forgotten who I am, my name is Patty. I am actually here without Jared today. He did have something he had to get done today, so he couldn't join us for this episode. But I am joined by our good friend Dave. He's here all the time. You guys love him to pieces. And so he is actually here, and as kind of our return episode to the podcasting world, we are actually going to talk about his newest project, in addition to kind of the Cut the Deck series that you guys have really, really taken a shine to. But before we get going on that, before we really dive into this new project that I think is super cool, Dave, how are you? And thanks for coming in and joining me on
thank
our
you.
Return yeah, no. episode.
I'm honored as always. Yes, thank you very much for making the time.
So, obviously, with Cut the Deck, and that's been our YouTube mini-series, and it's been incredibly well-received. People love it. So, obviously, you know, this is a little... your new project is called, you know, something else, in addition to, obviously, you're still doing Cut the Deck stuff. But why don't you go ahead and just and introduce your program, because I think it's also... it's really clever as well, in my opinion. But I'm also a sucker for, like, a good acronym, so... but go ahead, but you know, tell me all about it, because I've been watching it and I just think it's just the coolest thing.
So I'll kind of even tread back a little bit. If to really know me, you have to know that I don't make plans. So like Cut the Deck was pretty much, you know, brought about because the Belmont Stakes was going to be around. I was like, oh, let's do this. And then it kind of just kept going. So I really didn't have a direction with it. I was like, all right, you know, I'm doing interviews, but let me kind of also showcase this, you know, where I can hear and that. So it's really just been kind of a thing where I, you know, kind of showcase, you know, different things. So I hate to bring it back to like when we had stuff going on YouTube and then it was, you know, it's all just kind of, it's ever evolving, you know, but that's kind of my personality. If you know me, I kind of just get the idea and I just kind of roll with it, which like I said, it's been pretty good because I've kept things going and, you know, everyone that I've really either interviewed or done a piece with has really, you know, either shared it or collaborated. So, I mean, at one point our views were up to like 80,000 views in like the month of July and August, I think.
Yeah. We were there. I was watching between, you know, what you were doing with Cut the Deck, and I see all of our statistics on the YouTube page, and you know, Cut the Deck has always been extremely well received. So and you've been posting kind of this new segment under the Cut the Deck Instagram, which it's
yes.
on Instagram. It's literally just called Cut the Deck. So if you guys want to go over there and you want to keep tabs on it, you can also do that. You can also find the Pocket Aces Racing Instagram from there because we also follow it.
Yeah.
But so your new segment is actually called, is it Pocket Aces Pals?
Yeah, Pocket Aces Pals.
Okay.
Yeah. It was kind of a name that I thought up with Jared's daughter. So when she was kind of making me a logo because she was like, pick one. And I was like, oh my God. Like there was so many great ones to choose. And her and I both love the one that we have, which is the horse with, you know, our silks on. So that one was just perfect. But yeah, we kind of just came up, you know, we're trying to, you know, make a name, and it just seemed like a perfect fit for sure.
So what exactly was your vision with Pocket Aces Pals? Like, what was your goal when you kind of got started with it?
So it was funny. I did, obviously, Carlos Morales, who has kind of started doing, you know, little bits and pieces with us.
Yep.
I had spoke with him at Keeneland, and it goes back to PDGF day at Saratoga this year. And I've probably told the story tons of times, but it was the last girl that was in line to get the jockey's autographs. And there was a couple people left, but I was kind of standing there talking to Junior. And I see her walking up to the table, and she had a prosthetic leg. And I was like, oh my gosh, like it was just one of those things where like, you know, I could be a cold hearted guy, but you know, there's things that just melt me. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like the most, you know, the saddest thing I've seen. And it was like, but to see her with the biggest smile on her face, walking up to the table, and all she wanted to do was get jockey autographs. I was like, oh. So I had Junior's Hildebrand's hat with me that he had obviously autographed. So I walked over to him, and I said, Junior, you know, give the last girl your hat. And he put it on her head, and she was like all smiles. Her mom and dad were all happy. And later on that day, he told me that she went back and they took pictures with her, well, with Junior outside the jockey's room. So it was like, I was with someone, a buddy of mine, Sean, who does a lot of photography up at Saratoga. And I was talking to him later on that day. I was like, we have all this access to things. And like, obviously you have to do things respectfully in the right way. But I'm like, why not, you know, kind of show people that there's other sides to horse racing instead of, you know, screaming at a jockey or, you know, having to, you know, hit the exacta, otherwise the whole race was fixed and a sham, you know? So I figured, you know what, like in the early stages, I was like, let me see, because I only go up there on the weekends, which, I mean, only, I only drive 6 hours round trip on the weekends to Saratoga.
That's it. It's fine.
Yeah. So I was like, let me see about bringing a kid into the paddock. And obviously, you know, David O'Rourke has always been a good connection. He does it all the time. If you ever stand by the winner's circle, you know, for a race, you'll see him bring a kid in, watch the race in the winner's circle, and you really wouldn't even know who the guy was, because he's just kind of, you know, trying to give people the experience. So I was like, all right, you know, let's, you know, bring a kid into the paddock, let them watch the horses walk around, shake a jockey's hand, and then give them, you know, a silks pin for them from Pocket Aces to make them kind of like an honorary member. And back at Saratoga, didn't do too much with the kind of collecting with it, because I wanted to be very respectful of, like, you know, the kids and, you know, what kind of footage you get and stuff like that. So I was more interested in just kind of like giving them the experience and to kind of capture it all like that. But it was pretty good, because you have people up there that have been going there for their whole lives, and they've seen of the paddock is what's behind the fence and not walking through the gate. And, you know, you can see their heads walking back and forth, because everyone's looking at you as you're walking in, as the horses are there, and, you know, the jockeys are all shaking their hands, saying hello. So it's a different experience for sure. And for me, I mean, I don't want to say take it for granted, because I certainly don't, but it's something that I was able to do. So I was like, I'm not doing much as it is up there anyway. I might as well, you know, make someone else have a fun time too.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of the initiative that the late D. Wayne Lucas used to do, where he would bring friends, family, fans, kids into the winner's circle with him. And you would have folks who have this just fantastic photo in the winner's circle with arguably some incredibly good horses. And they were like, it was incredible. It was one of the most amazing experiences, just knowing that somebody, you know, who's at the top of the game was so generous with his time. So that kind of reminds me of what it is. And it's, you know, and you're right, we kind of don't think about it sometimes, I think, as syndicate, you know, participants and partners and owners and stuff like that. Like, we don't think about it. We just RSVP to whether or not we need tickets to get in, and that's it. And then, you know, you kind of forget when you were just a fan and it wasn't that easy, you know, of just RSVPing and you're in. So that reminds me a lot of kind of like what the late great D. Wayne Lucas used to do. So obviously, since this is a kind of an event, so how does that day, let's say, look like for folks who do end up getting a chance to participate in the Pocket Aces Pals?
So kind of like a race by race thing. So you kind of, you know, for the most part, you know, at Saratoga, I guess it was about, you know, four weekends or so of it. But, you know, it was really just, hey, you know, would you like to, you know, you kind of see a family that's standing there watching from the fence, like, hey, you want to come in, and watch the horses get saddled up and all that. So you kind of bring them in, all that, let them meet the jockey after the race. You kind of have to feel it out, and Saratoga is a little bit different. That winner's circle gets real tight. So if there's an opportunity to watch it from there, then that's great. If not, you know, I kind of don't set expectations super high because I don't know. Every race is different. Every, you know, you never know when it's going to be, you know, a my racehorse horse, and there's, you know, the whole winner's circle is packed, and you know, it's kind of like an experience where you don't want it to be, you know, something that you're kind of fighting, you know, to get into the winner's circle to watch a race.
Yeah, throwing elbows with the crowd.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, you want to make sure that everyone's all comfortable. So Saratoga was really just kind of like the jumping off point, but I think we really perfected it in Keeneland.
I saw a few of those. They were really good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Jared and myself, we kind of went there and it was like, no plan is an understatement. We had, Jared had t-shirts made up. I had a bunch of hats made. We had the pins, of course. And we kind of just took off rolling. Friday, obviously, because it's a – no, I'm sorry. Friday was a – I mean, out there, I think Keeneland opening day is a national holiday, to be honest with you, because there was quite a lot of kids there.
It's definitely a Kentucky holiday.
Yeah, so it was – so we just to kind of move into that, we really just kind of went there and found, the first family that was kind of standing there. And it kind of just rolls. You know, we had them in the paddock, the brand new paddock there, watching the horses come out, get saddled up, and then the jockeys would come out, and then we would walk to the winner's circle. You know, and the Keeneland winner's circle is pretty sizable, so it was kind of, you know, nice. Everyone, you know, you could stand up on the riser and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as the race is done, you would kind of say, you know, let's kind of hang back here. The horse is going to come in, the jockeys will come in. And then we would kind of just wait in the tunnel and have a jockey come out. And I mean, they were all phenomenal. You know, Sophie Doyle, we had Luan a few times, Tyler and Corey Lannery.
Junior.
Junior Edgar Roman. We had Walter Rodriguez. He was great. So just, you know, it was really just Flavian was fantastic with a family of two. So it was good. It really, I mean, look, at the end of the day, you know, you have to, if you know, if a guy's getting beat by, you know, 15 lengths and, you know, he's getting hounded by the trainer, you're probably not going to ask that guy if he can, you know, stop. But chances are they would stop anyway. But you have to really read the room and see how people are. You're not going to, you know, look, if we really wanted, you know, let's say, you know, let's go with Junior, but he's walking out with Bill Mott. I'm not going to grab him and say, hey, you know, would you do this? If, you know, he's talking to the trainer or anything like that. So you'll have to feel it out and make it right. But I don't think we had a snag in the whole day, and we went straight through. And obviously at the stakes races, you have to stop because you know we can't be going in the paddock. But yeah, we saw, you know, Buff a few times, and everyone's really seemed to take a liking to it for sure.
Obviously, you said that it's more of a kind of like sensation. Like we're gonna read the room, we're gonna read the crowd, we're gonna see kind of how it vibes. So let's say if somebody knows that they're coming up to Keeneland and they wanted to make it like a special day for their kids and they wanted it to be like a surprise, could they possibly like reach out to you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I had a woman from Cincinnati reach out to me about a week before, and we had linked up and we did it there. But, you know, I guess, you know, whether, you know, people following or whatever, but I'm sure, or hopefully you hope that it'll get to that point. You know, for myself, I mean, I make it to Keeneland like one weekend out of the year, so it's kind of tough for me. But Jared was there doing it, and but obviously, you know, the frequency of Saratoga for myself, I'd be able to definitely get that, and you know, you hope that would be something, because that means people are familiar with the content too, which is great.
Well, and it means that they're interested. They want their kids to have that experience, because like, look how many people have said it themselves, like, my grandfather got me into racing because he took me to the track, or my dad galloped horses and I just went out and I watched in the mornings, and that's how I got hooked. And like, so everybody has a different path in, and I think for kids, you know, especially with children, like, this is introducing the animals, the horses, and letting them experience, you know, sometimes I think for a lot of people, because so many folks are kind of living far away from the agrarian lifestyle in the in kind of the modern era, for a lot of people, they've never had a chance to come close to a horse and see a horse, and much less a thoroughbred, where a lot of these horses, you only see them on TV for Kentucky Derby Day, because that's the only time right, a lot of exactly. these folks watch.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, people think that horse racing is, I've sort of people even say, not to get off topic, but people say to me, like, it's November, like, is horse racing done for the year? I'm like, no, there's probably a race going off, like, now,
yeah.
you know? Yeah, so it's just to get people a little bit more familiar with it, and, you know, and the logo looks good on everything, and yep. the kids are loving it. So the one, I guess I'll give you two kind of stories that kind of stood out to me, more so at Keeneland.
Yeah.
I think it was Saturday we had grabs. I want to say I saw this family on Friday also, but yeah, obviously it's like a wind tunnel at that place. Like you snap your fingers and the day's done.
Yeah.
And there was two young boys and a father. So we, you know, I asked them, I was like, would you guys like to come in and watch? And they were, I mean, I got the last word of my mouth and those kids were in the paddock, that's for sure. And I was talking to the father, and he was an ex-military, and he's like, oh, you know, this is amazing that we get this opportunity, because I was on the, I don't know if it was, whatever you want to call it, for lack of better terms, could have been the color guard at the Kentucky Derby. So he actually handed the trophy to the owners of Barbaro.
Wow.
That year. Yeah, so he's like, this is incredible that, you know, I got picked for that, and you picked my kids for this. I'm like, are you weighing me and, you know, handing your kid a hat over you handing the Kentucky Derby trophy to, you know,
well,
owners?
It's also relative, though. Like, I think
that's true.
You know, for like, yeah. for not to, you know, not to put like a ho ho, but it's like for people, you know, and maybe you know this feeling as well with your own kids or your nieces and your nephews. It's different when you see that, you know, that your family is lighting up and they're getting this experience. And like, yeah, I'm sure he thought it was an incredible honor to hand this trophy, you know, to the connections of Barbaro, who, you know, a lot of people thought, you know, had won so stylishly. People were prepared to, you know, proclaim him the Triple Crown winner. Like, that was my first Derby horse, was Barbaro.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and I still cry every time I watch that replay. I still cry. I cry every year. And it's, you know, and as incredible as it is an experience, you know, for you in that moment when you see your kids or you see your niece or you see your nephew and they're lit up like a Christmas tree because they get to see this horse and they get to experience it. And it's like, it's a different level of joy. It's still joy. It's, you know, it's, but it's like a different level. It's like a different, quantifiable amount, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's like you get to experience them experiencing it for the first time. So I think it's like a compounded kind of level of joy where it's like, you're happy that they're happy. And you don't get me wrong. Yeah. At the end of the day, everybody's still happy.
Oh yeah. I'll tell you some of the parents, not to say that the kids weren't, but like some of these parents were like, were just loving it also. Yeah. I was like, I don't know who this is for, the parents or the kids. Cause it was just, you know, they had never experienced it. And they've been coming there, let's say, you know, 30 years, like, I've never been in the paddock, I've never been in the winner's circle, and, you know, they're talking to the jockeys, and, like, you could see them, like, you know,
kids again.
You know, almost, like, stumbling over words, like, that was, a great race, you know, and, you know, I'm fortunate enough to know pretty much all the riders that we got to speak with, and they were all like, yeah, you know, whatever you need, no problem at all. Literally, they said, like, I was reaching out to some, and, you know, leading up to it, and, like, yeah, like, just tell us, you know, find us, you know, it's no issue at all.
Yeah. So your first story was the Barbaro connection. So what was your second?
And then
I'm interested.
Yes. Yeah, so it was second. It was Saturday. I think Jared had spotted this family. It was a daughter and her mother were there from, I think they were there from like Wisconsin, and they Ooh. It was like their second or third year there. But you could tell that the young girl had like, you know, she was extremely shy.
Aww.
And, you know, the mother was kind of doing a little coaxing, being like, this will be fun. Like, let's go in there. And we were like, look, if you don't want to, or if this doesn't seem right when we get in there, just tell us and we'll come out. And I mean, at the end of the, she had the phone out, she was filming the race. Sophie Doyle's taking pictures with her.
You couldn't have pulled her out of that paddock.
I looked at Jared. I was like, that was the first one of the day. I was like, that couldn't have worked out any better. But you literally, I mean, let's say it's 20 minutes. you just saw the progression of like someone coming out of their, you know, comfort level. Yeah. It was like before your eyes. I was more mesmerized by that than, you know, the race. I was, you know, yeah. so that was really, really something to see, because it's more than just the idea that I had, you know, bringing her in there. Hey, you want to check this out? It was like, oh, this is, you know, kind of bringing someone, you know, to be a little more comfortable around a different situation.
Yeah. Well, and it's, I think it also speaks to like the importance of being a community, right? Of when you see these folks and they're first timers and they don't, you know, necessarily know what they need to do or where they can go. You know, even if they're coming with somebody who comes every year and for every, it doesn't matter particularly what track, just every, you know, you being somewhere for the first time, even when you're in the company of somebody who's there, let's say every day, it can be a nerve-wracking experience because you spend the whole time in your head like, oh my goodness, am I doing this wrong? Am I saying it wrong? Do I stand here? Do I not stand here?
Yes.
And then when you finally, you know, when finally someone approaches and says, hey, do you want to try this? Do you want to experience it with us? Do you want to go in there? And you finally get that chance. And then you realize, oh, this isn't bad. You know, it was me right. being in my head more than it was anything else. And I'm really happy to hear that by the time that the race was coming to an end, that she was thrilled. And that's awesome. It's great to hear.
Yeah, you could see, I think the one I posted, I think she actually had two riders sign her hat. And yeah, it's Sophie Doyle. She was taking pictures with. So it was
Sophie's
nice.
Awesome. Sophie's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that sounds absolutely incredible. Do you? Obviously, we're kind of slowing down to answer some questions for some folks. Yes, we are still racing, but we're definitely starting to slow down a little bit for the year. It is. We're kind of starting to get close to like that. That month where a lot of horses, especially the turf horses, a lot of horses start kind of going on their Christmas break, for lack of a better words, until, you know, turf racing comes back. So we are slowing down a little bit, but do you...
And if slowing down means winning getting three win pictures, I'll take slowing down.
I mean, there's worse ways to have a slow season. Yeah. But yeah. In terms of the Pocket Aces Pals, obviously with the season kind of slowing down and Saratoga's wrapped for the year and Keeneland is done for the year aside from their sales action right now. What's kind of like, what plan do you foresee? When next do you think you'll kind of start picking back up with Pocket Aces Pals again?
I guess it depends on where our horses run this summer. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously if we have something running, I mean, obviously we got a couple of sidelines, so I truly don't see us. I mean, I could be wrong in saying this, so I don't know if we'll be, you know, running in Tampa, let's say, this summer, or if Fairgrounds is going to be our spot that we're going to be, you know, running more horses. I've never been to Fairgrounds. I've never been to Oaklawn, so I don't really know how their program works. I'm sure it would be as easy. I mean, who wouldn't want to have a conversation with someone in the racing office that, you know, someone wants to do this? So I don't imagine if we do go down there and I was to go, if that would be that hard of a thing. But again, I don't really know how those tracks work. You know, Gulfstream Park would be a place also to do it, but it would have to depend on where our horses run. But at the same time, Turfway Park would be a phenomenal place to do it also.
Turfway Park is fun.
You know, I can't just start speaking about the places that are, you know, warm and sunny. There's tons of people who would love to see this happen at that new Turfway Park up there. So that's definitely not out of the question either, because we will definitely have horses running up there for sure.
Yeah, we're frequent faces out at Turfway. They know us well over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't imagine that not going over well at Turfway Park either. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you're frequent on your social medias. And again, you can follow Cut the Deck on Instagram, and I'm sure, you know, Dave, if when you have updates, when you know for sure what places you're going to be, I'm sure you'll be able to start posting kind of more concrete dates and things for people to know. And obviously, folks, like you said earlier, if you are inspired and you want your kids to have that kind of experience, and the timelines are coinciding, absolutely, reach out to Dave and send him a message. He's very nice, I promise. I speak from experience. He's very chatty. But it's definitely I definitely encourage as many people as possible to kind of have that owner experience, and it's very unique. It's something that you're not going to experience too much in any other sporting event. So I definitely encourage people, if this is something you want to try and the timelines work, reach out and do it. Definitely try.
Right.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm happy to make it happen for anybody for sure. So it's yeah, I mean that's send me a message. That's absolutely perfect.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dave, for stopping in and sharing a little bit of information about Pocket Aces Pals. It's been so much fun watching the videos and watching these kids experience these incredible kind of first time just experiences, really, for lack of a better word. But thank you so much for agreeing to come
Yeah,
in
thank you.
and help us break our hiatus on our audio
Absolutely.
podcast.
Thank you, as always. Sure. Appreciate it.
But so anybody, if you're interested, once again, I will list it off, and I'll also have all these names in the description of this video, so you can check that out below. So obviously Dave, you can find him on Dave Brown, because I know you also have your personal Instagram that you
Sure.
post a lot of racing stuff on. There,
That's public,
yep,
yeah.
there's Cut the Deck on the Instagram, and that's devoted just to Cut the Deck and Pocket Aces Pals kind of content over there, from what I've seen, for the most part. If you want to follow Pocket Aces Racing, we're also on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we are on Threads, we are on so many places. So definitely take a look at those four, big five that I just listed off. We also have our YouTube channel. We're kind of rounding back into those, but obviously with me currently only able to put weight on one leg, I have not had the ability to go out and really do any recording and do any interviews. So right now our YouTube is kind of a little quiet, but if you want to go over there and follow us over there, we do plan on getting videos and starting to pick that back up as well. So definitely follow us over there. But once again, thank you everybody for coming over and staying with us, and I appreciate you guys coming back in after we disappeared on you. But as I have told everybody, and I'll tell you again, have a happy Wednesday, Thursday, whenever I post this. Have a good day, make good choices, and the podcast is out.